your Bible tonight, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 6. Book of Acts, chapter number 6. Before we read tonight, God was just laying it on my heart just a moment ago to just take a few moments and go to the Lord on an issue. And I'd like for us tonight to pray for Brett. He needs a job. You need a job? It'd be nice. All righty. And let's just ask God to do that in his life. How many would agree with me that that'd be a great thing for Brett? Okay. Anyway, see, if we agree upon something, take it to the Lord, we got an extra promise. Isn't that true? Okay. So, how many of you believe that God could do that? How many of you believe that? All right. And, yeah, he can. So, there's a lot of levy work needs done, Brett. I'm not sure what it is. You probably stepped through it. You do what my van did out there. Not my van, but our church van is what I put in the hole out there. All right. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and just ask the Lord to do that. And while we're doing that, we're going to ask the Lord just to bless in the rest of the service tonight. Father, thank you this evening. We have the wonderful opportunity to call upon you. Lord, we know in this room there are many needs. Father, we know there are many financial needs in this room, and we know that you are the author of all of those being met. But Lord, we come especially tonight asking you to just give Brett a job. Lord, that which would fit him, that which would suit him, that which would supply their needs, Lord, we just pray that you do that. And Lord, we believe you are well capable of that, no matter on the kind of thing is going on in our nation. Doesn't matter if things are going downhill. You're the one who provides. So we're just asking you to do that. We pray also that you might bless as we look to the Word of God tonight. I pray, Father, that you might help us to be biblicists. Help us understand what your Word says concerning the subject matter at hand. We pray this now in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Book of Acts, chapter number 6. And I want to read here tonight the first seven verses, Acts chapter number 6, and beginning in verse number 1. It says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You may be seated tonight. Thank the Lord for the privilege to read together the word of God. Tonight, as you might well guess, we are going to deal with the subject matter of deacons. As we think about how a church operates, one of the things that we are going to look at, as we've talked about teaching and teachers and preparation the last couple of weeks, I want to look to this. I'm going to say this at the very beginning, and I will say it again at the end. Every church member ought to be a deacon in heart. I believe that. Every church member ought to be a deacon in heart. And please allow me now to explain why that is so. We're going to look at and try to understand what a deacon is supposed to be and what he is supposed to do. And I want us to look at the Scriptures. I will say this. The modern day deacon may not be altogether biblical, as we have changed that function in most of our churches today. So I believe we need to return to the Bible. First of all, I want to look at a historical introduction that we find here in chapter 6. Secondly, I want to take a little time to define the term. Interesting term, Deacon. And then thirdly, I want us to look at the function that we discover here in the Word of God. So first of all, the historic introduction, as we look at the history, as it began here in chapter number 6. Now this might seem a little strange, but the word deacon is not found in the King James Version. You're not going to find that here in this. But there's no doubt amongst Bible scholars, anybody I've ever known, that these seven were certainly a model for the office. One of the things that we find in the early days of the church is there was tremendous growth. We find that there were 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. Can you imagine that? 3,000 people getting saved. It's not too many days after that, and the Bible says there were 5,000 that got saved. So we go from 3,000 to 8,000. And then we find not too far along in the book of Acts, and you will see that it says a multitude. There were literally thousands of people that were brought into this church in Jerusalem. And the growth of this church made it impossible for the apostles to do all the necessary work involved in this growing church. Now what we find here is the beginnings of these individuals was really caused by murmuring in the church. Isn't that often the case? And so here we find complaining taking place in the church from people who are saying they are not being taken care of properly. I don't know how many times in the last, well, it's getting close to 38 years being here, that I've heard those kinds of things. And there's always somebody who thinks they're not getting taken care of properly. By the way, my advice, for one thing, is we ought to be taken care of. And too many times we're wanting to get taken care of. Did that make sense? But nonetheless, we find the complaint. Now, there's something interesting. Disciples never refute their complaints, but they sought to solve them. And certainly that's what churches try to do. And so men were called upon to work with the pastor. In this case, we might call them apostles or pastors, to work with these men in caring for the needs of the people. Now, the particular need here is that we find that there were widows in the church. By the way, later on in the book of Timothy, we find that there are specific instructions given for taking care of widows. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very explicit that families ought to do so first of all. They ought to take care of the widows in their family. Secondly, we find that there are widows indeed in whom then the church is responsible for. In our society, many times or most times, that is all taken care of by that, and also we have government stepping in, taking the place of church. But nonetheless, we find this is the situation, and there's some that's getting taken care of, and there's others that are not. And so we find the Grecians are saying, well, the Jewish people, they are getting special treatment. And so what we find here is that these men were called upon to basically do one thing, as found in verse number 2, serve tables. They were called upon to do a specific task. Now let's think about this word deacon for a moment. Interesting word. Although the word deacon is not found in our text, we find the word diakonos, which is the Greek word for deacon, is found three times. There's a difference between translating a word and transliterating a word. If you translate a word, you find what the word means in one language and what that word is in another language. Transliteration is when you take that word directly out of a language and introduce it into a new language. For instance, the word baptize is a transliteration. There was not really a good word for baptize in the English language. Some folks say, well, the word means to immerse. No, baptize is more than immerse. It's not to dip underwater, but it's also to what? Raise up out of the water. Okay? So it's not a matter of just dipping under. That's a picture of death. And last Sunday, if I would have just done that to those two girls, I'd have had some very angry parents. We're going to what? We want to also see the full understanding of salvation. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen? And so it's a picture of that which is going under the water and being raised up. And so the word immerse is not really a good word. To dip under is really not a good word. And so the word was transliterated. We find the same token here with this word diakonos, if I'm saying it right in the Greek. By the way, I had 2 years of Greek. Greek had me more than that. I was kind of pinned by Greek most of the time. But nonetheless, it's a transliteration of the word. So you find then that this word is used throughout the New Testament. And we find in this text, it's used three times, diakonos. It's used once in verse number 1. And if you notice verse number 1, you see the word ministration. In the last word of verse 1, ministration. And that is from the word, Greek word, diakonos, that we also get our word deacon. You find in verse number 2 that the word is there once again. And it's in the next to the last word, serve. So it's a ministration or a ministry. It's a service. And then you find a fourth time in verse number 4, and you find it in the word ministry. Term that means a servant. It means to serve. It is the one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master. In other words, they are a servant, they're an attendant, they are a minister unto other people. Interesting, the word is used also of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the spots we find, Matthew 20, verse 24, says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered, diakonos, unto, but to minister, diakonos, and to give His life a ransom for many." And so it's a term used of Christ to what? Minister. It's used throughout the New Testament. 97 times it is used where it is translated minister or serve. 5 times it's translated or transliterated with this word deacon. And thus a deacon is a servant. And as we find in chapter 6, a servant that was what? Helping those who were in leadership. Helping the pastor. They were servant to the church. They are servant to the Lord. If he's anything else, I cannot find where he's a biblical deacon. What are the functions of a deacon? Well, as we look here in this particular text, we find he is one to care for the people. Do you realize there is no limit what a deacon can accomplish or what anybody with a servant's heart can accomplish if they don't care who gets the credit? It's amazing what we can see accomplished if it is a matter of we just want to do the work and get it done. You might be surprised at some of the things that get accomplished around here. Today, I saw a 90-year-old man with a squirt gun, a squirt bottle, I should say, going up and down and squirting the weeds in the cracks. How many have ever thought of doing that? Well, not too many. But it's something that helps take care of things around. That's a servant. If I hadn't to say anything, nobody'd know about that. And to see that kind of thing, many, many, many things take place and can get accomplished if we're not worried about getting credit. God works in churches. God works in organizations. God works through leadership. I bring this up because I believe it's very important for us to understand. He has spoken of the authority of the pastor in the Word of God. Matter of fact, we find the words rule and we find the word obeyed. This is quite frankly difficult for me to talk about, but it's in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. in verse number 17 of the same chapter, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." How many realize and know that if there's leadership and there's something that must be held accountable, leadership is held accountable? I watched the news at 4 o'clock and I saw what had been a news conference was President Obama. And in that news conference, he was telling us that the problem with the United States of America right now is the Congress. And because they won't raise the debt ceiling. And it's those nasty Republicans, they won't raise the debt ceiling. And he's saying that's the problem with America right now. I thought to myself for a moment, I think I'm looking at the problem of America right now. That's my own opinion. I'm not preaching. I'm just opinionating right now. But many of you would sit there and say,
amen.
But what? He's the one who's accountable. When it really comes to it, Harry Truman says the buck stops here. He meant what he said. So we find that the pastor is responsible for the care of the flock. In Acts 20, Paul's addressing the pastors at Ephesus. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." In chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 2 says, "Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Much can be said there, and certainly much ought to be said there. But there's a responsibility that is laid upon the pastor, and he's in a position where he must run things and accomplish things. There must be that kind of leadership. We never see this in the deacon's responsibility. We never find that mentioned in the Word of God. He's a servant. He's to be a model of a servant to all. The first deacons were chosen to what? Lighten the load of the pastor so he could have more time to pray and be in the Word of God. That's really what it's all about, is being that kind of, can we use the word assistant? Some people say we ought to have assistant pastors in churches. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think they also would be called deacons. My personal thought concerning that. So we find that their primary responsibility is to be a servant. So in a few moments, I will say it again. Every church member ought to be a what? Deacon in heart. We are here to serve each other. And that is very, very important. I want to go through a couple of mistaken ideas about deacons. Many years ago, I was talking to a fellow, and we were talking about the pastor and deacon relationship, and he believed that the deacons ought to be over the pastor. I said, "Why do you believe that? I don't find that in the Word of God. I don't find that listed anywhere." And he admitted he could not find it anywhere himself. But he said this, "But somebody has to keep the pastor in tow." And I said, yeah, forgive me. I said, "Don't you think it would be easier for God to take care of one man than seven or eight?" That was my answer. I thought it was a good answer. You're supposed to laugh. But I don't see somebody then have to take care of them. But listen, some main mistaken ideas. One of the mistaken ideas that comes across is some folks believe that they are a liaison between the church and the pastor. Listen, you and I ought to have a good relationship one with another. It's a pastor people. It's a shepherd with his sheep. And, you know, if folks cannot come to me directly, there's some kind of problem. Sometimes folks don't because they don't want to hear the answer. They don't want to be told they're wrong. I find that's generally the situation. But there does not need to be a liaison between the church and pastor. Matter of fact, that needs to be what? A position of love. of concern one with another. Some people believe that they are a board similar to a board of directors. By the way, you don't really find that in the Bible. I'm going to share something in just a moment along that line. You don't really find that. Though, within many of our Baptist churches, deacons become that kind of a thing as they can, you know, be put in the sum of that kind of a role. But that's not the role of a deacon. They are to run, some believe, the secular, and the pastor is to run the sacred. My contention for God's people is, first of all ground is holy ground. I believe that the mistaken idea of secular and sacred ought to be thrown out. We ought to understand that for you and I, life is all sacred. And everything that we do ought to be understood in the sacred. You see, God's people too often want to divide their lives up. This is for God and this is for me. He says, seek ye me what? First. And all these secular shall be added unto you. Okay? He ought to have that primary position in our lives. I believe all ground is holy ground for God's people. Now, there's a word found in chapter 6, and we find here it says, whom we may appoint over this business. That's an interesting word. Again, going to the Greek, and I'm not really big on Greek, but we find the word kreia, and it's found 46 times in the New Testament. Except for right here, it is always translated need or necessity or some related term. It's referring to needs, whom we may pour over this need, this business of what these people have, this need that is in their life. What is the business of the church, really? It is caring for the needs of the people. Sometimes folks say, when are we going to have a business meeting? We're in one. This is the business of the church. There's no greater business than what? Ministering to the needs of God's people. See? Ministering to the needs, meeting the needs of God's people. And that is really what a church is all about. These needs, by the way, that are all about us, that deacons would be a part of, God's people would be a part of, let's say at church, where we meet at, have to do with many, many different areas. And good lighting, good sound, having good functioning bathrooms. That helps. Amen? I mean, all the maintenance things, all the things that need to be accomplished. And I will tell you this. Many times, here's what happens in a church. I've had this happen so many times. Folks, in their wonderful concern, will come up to me and say, Pastor, you need to take care of this. I hear that far too often. And my answer is, if God showed it to you, maybe He wants you to do it. By the way, that reduces the number of times that comes to me. But I've heard that. Listen, we're to be servants. Amen? We're to be servants. Now, I don't mind whatever it is I have to do. I don't know how many toilets I've changed. I don't know how many times I've had to clean out. I've been watching these pumps down here, making sure they're running every day. And, matter of fact, I can tell you right now, this pump back here is every 50 seconds running for 23 seconds. How do you like that? Okay. And I've been checking that, seeing if it's coming in faster. You know, you do those kinds of things. But it's not just my job. And so there are things that need to be done. And that is what? That kind of deacon heart, what takes that kind of load off. These include also other things. Things at home, perhaps. And I don't mean at their home, but in the homes of other people. There are folks who need encouraging. There are shut-ins that need visited. There are folks that are in the hospital that it's good to have a visit from some. And those kinds of things. You know, I believe sincerely that when you find out somebody's in the hospital, you shouldn't just say, well, our pastor will be there. What's wrong with you? Why is it just certain people's job? I was in the